You're listening to the Visit Design Podcast, conversations with online and tourism industry experts about engaging digital strategy and website design. Here's your host, Simeon Griggs.
On this episode, I'm joined by Fuchsia Sims from AdventureJunkie.com. That's Adventure, J-U-N-K-Y.com. Fuchsia is one of the founders of this new app platform. Call it what you like. It's just a fantastic vision they have for a travel company that is going to help try and, one, solve over-tourism, but two, gamify sustainable travel. So it's kind of like Strava for travel. If Strava told you where to ride your bike or go for a run, and that analogy works if you know what Strava is, but this was a great interview to have with Fuchsia. We're talking about targeting millennials in particular, but also trying to build a business that your customers feel like they're a part of, that really what's taken them by surprise is just how involved their customers have become and this community that they've built, and how much that community want to feed back into the business. And I think if you engage people early enough and tell them your story, they'll want to tell you their story in return. And that has been borne out with Adventure Junkie's story, and that was a great takeaway in this. So on with the show. Hey, Fuchsia, thanks for your time today. It's really good to have you on the podcast. Adventure Junkie, it's an app, it's a platform, it seems to be a lot of things. It's quite multifaceted. I think it's going to be best if you can describe for me what Adventure Junkie is.
Sure, no problem. Yes, you are right. It is quite multifaceted, but I guess, you know, at its core, it's also quite simple, and that is that we have created Earth's first sustainable travel game. And what I mean by that is that, you know, imagine all the incredible adventures you can think of and ask your friends about, and all the operators out there in the world. And we've collected all those incredible experiences and put them onto our app. So it's like a directory of a mini atlas of adventure from around the world. And on top of that, what we've decided to do is to start gamifying the product. So each adventure has been given a point score. So every time as a user you go out there and complete an adventure, you start earning points and collecting patches and start moving up a leaderboard, whether you compete with yourself or the rest of the world.
Yeah, so it's in a way, I suppose, like Strava for travel, in that you're sort of logging the adventures you go on, but you're also providing like the recommended adventures or ideas that people can go on those adventures. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely correct. And I mean, I guess from our perspective, it is more than fun and games, because to actually get an adventure listed on our product, we're really making sure that it's high on experience and low on impact, because we're really trying to make more of a conscious shift towards sustainable travel for the future.
Yeah, and I think that stands out immediately once you jump in there, is that all of these adventures just look absolutely amazing, and I'm pretty sure that every one of them I've looked at is something I've never seen before. So that's the coolest thing about it, I think, is you open this app and it's not just the same old, but everything's very rare. What was the sort of inspiration? How did you come to this then? Because you've got a background in the travel industry yourself, but how did it lead to this particular model and idea?
That's an interesting story in itself, really, and it's not till hindsight or retrospect that you kind of understand that you've been climbing a ladder to get to where you've arrived. So I guess for me, I never really quite fit in when it came to school or academia, as most people kind of do and head off to university. I had different plans, and I ran away and I lived in the jungles. And I guess through that experience over in Costa Rica, I really actually started to find a lot of self-empowerment and realize that you haven't got to go down the traditional path of a degree to actually fit into the world. And on top of that, I started watching, I guess, my clients and some of the students that would come on these adventures with me. They would have the exact same experiences where they'd transcend their limits and actually open up their eyes and become different people purely through the experience that they'd had with adventure. So I guess zooming forward, I actually ended up going back to university and I studied international marketing and the experience economy. And that has led me down a very interesting path to be able to, I guess, join my passion and my skill set together. So Adventure Junkie came about one quiet Christmas where my business partner and I, who were a marketing agency at the time, just started looking at some really big global trends that were happening in the travel space. And three key things really stuck out to us back then, and that was just the sheer size of how fast adventure travel is growing within the whole travel spectrum. It's about 50% of the reason why everyone is traveling, and that's growing by 5% year on year. The other thing that's obviously changed and changing every day is technology and the way that particularly users are starting to interact with brands. And millennials in particular are the core focus for us, as they're going to be the driving force of travel over the next 20 years. And I guess the third thing that comes up is that it's all well and good to have something in the digital landscape, but it's very, very hard to keep people actually glued to your product and keep them coming back and excited to be on your platform. So gamification for us was the tool to actually glue that all together to keep our community engaged.
Yeah, that's very cool. And so you built a community then, or you are building a community around this? How long have you had Adventure Junkies up and going for?
So I guess from the idea or ideation phase, we've been around for about 3.5 years. And going through that process, we've had to raise some capital, build some technology, test our assumptions, all the kind of fun things that go into building a new product. And we launched both the iOS and Android version in early 2017, I should say. And since that period, we've been really avidly working on a thriving community. So at the moment, the thing that I'm really enjoying is our user-generated content. As you said, a lot of these adventures are quite rare and unique, and it's because we're not kind of trawling the classic Expedias or Googles to find these incredible experiences. We've actually put it out to our community to start adding some of the greatest things that they've ever done. So I guess the fun part of my job is really looking and seeing what our users are doing and allowing them to be co-curators of our product, if you like.
All right. So you're sort of started the building of the experiences, but then your community is then feeding ideas back into the machine. So it's sort of building itself in a way.
Yeah, it's awesome. So I would say
probably
70% of our adventures are user-generated content. Wow. We're also finding really incredible tour operators through our users themselves, and we're avidly going out and looking to partner with those, leading companies that are looking at both those things of high on experience and low on impact.
Yeah, that's cool. And so is that part of the business model then as well, that tourism operators are then providing unique experiences to the platform as well?
Correct. And I think as our community grows, you know, I'd like probably to talk more. I know your audience is quite interested in trends and what's going on, I guess, in travel and how to grow their reach. And I think from my perspective, you know, the millennial is a really new style of traveler. And no one's quite figured them out yet, but there's some very classic things that they do very differently. And I guess allowing them to be part of this generation and influencing a brand is something that we've had a lot of, I guess, traction with and excitement with. And for a small business, we're actually the volume of adventures and the way that people want to contribute with us from our small audience group is actually been something that I've been quite surprised with.
Yeah, so that I suppose then is an important, I'm probably just going to repeat what you already said, but yeah, that's really important, isn't it, to engage people and make them feel like they are part of the experience or that they are building the experience from the core. I suppose that would be a difficult thing to build onto an existing business, but if you're one of your core tenets is to involve millennials or people within the business itself, so then they feel like they are involved in building it out. That's a very different experience, isn't it, to a traditional model where you would just be serviced by a company, where you actually feel part of the company instead.
Correct. And I think, you know, travel's an interesting space because, yes, it's a massive business. It's 10% of global GDP. It's employing about 10% of everyone on the planet. It's a massive beast. But you can also look at on, I guess, the inspirational, beautiful side that we all get excited by as well. And it's very clear from my own, I guess, personal travels and experiences, and I'm sure you're the same, we love to hear what others are doing, and we're actually more influenced by what our friends have done or are talking about than what brands are pushing towards us.
Yeah.
That's a big shift that we've seen happen over the last 15, 20 years in the travel industry.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that we're sort of using the word millennial in a positive context, because I know that word usually gets thrown around in a derogatory way, but I think I'm borderline millennial. I think I just scrape in there myself. And I think that's great to see.
One of the elders of the millennials,
I think so, yeah. I'm born 84, so I think I just scrape in there. But
You're totally in there.
It
basically ranges from 80 right through to 2000.
Okay,
terrific. And we do see different extremes of that. And I guess even within that subgroup, I mean, the core thing that classically makes, and I'm a millennial as well, I'm 86.
There we go.
But We were born and we were completely surrounded by high-tech gadgets and the excitement of the internet, and social networks were coming out when we were in high school instead of playing in groups face-to-face. We've been plugged in 24/7 for as long as we've been alive.
Yeah. Yep.
So we don't know any different. And I actually think that that is where travel from an experience perspective is so rich and rewarding for us. You know, at the moment, for example, my boyfriend's over in Mongolia on an 8-day motorbike ride with completely no Wi-Fi.
Huh.
And for us millennials, or whoever you want to call us, that is so foreign to us, but it's also so unbelievably important to our DNA as a human to have that experience of being detached.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when looking at trying to service or speak to millennials, there is a technological expectation, isn't there? Like, it would be impossible to target our generation with an underwhelming app or service or website or marketing that's completely not savvy technology-wise. Is that fair to say? Like, I think you would struggle to get somebody in our generation to book something if the process was difficult or unattractive, unappealing digitally.
Absolutely. So about 80% of – I'm talking a lot about millennials because I guess they're my target audience and I do know a lot about them. 80% of millennials basically are not happy with the current mobile experiences that or web experiences that are out there right now. We're highly fickle. We don't want an excuse. For example, with our product, there were so many systems we had to build in place just to make sure that from, I guess, a beta product was going to tick some boxes before we could even start building our unique selling point. And I guess that's one of the challenges is they're so used to getting what they need when they want it, fast, speedy information at their fingertips, that if you're not giving them what they need and making it relative, you're going to lose them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's so many options that you can just bounce to something else immediately. So if you're not surfacing or surfacing relevant information soon, the attention span is also incredibly short, isn't it? So they can move
and
something else.
And the thing to add on top of this is not only is that incredibly short, but we also think we can do it better. So if a millennial look at me, I've started my own business. I feel like there wasn't a solution in the marketplace for what I was after.
Yeah, yeah. And so a disgruntled customer could just become a competition.
My competitor.
Yeah, that's right. So as a digital product then, do you do any offline marketing, or I suppose you're just 100% digital in growing that audience and finding new customers? It'd be all digital focused, wouldn't it?
Yeah, look, I would say we're about 90% digital, but I guess on top of that, I also like to do a lot of speaking opportunities, and that's probably our biggest offline reach, I would say.
Sure.
And second to that, what I'm hoping we'll see start growing is actually the word of mouth and it becoming an organic part of a conversation that helps our audience start to build.
So how do you then balance what you do digitally? So is it your website, your social media, or do you sort of just have to be everywhere because it's difficult not to be everywhere? Are there platforms you focus on more than others? Do you see more traction on like Facebook than Twitter, things like that?
Well, I mean, it is a really tricky one, and it's something that, you know, answers change all the time. And as a brand, you just have to explore what's working for you. For example, Facebook for us has been something that's been a bit more passive in terms of interactions, but I also know Facebook is a site where people go to get a lot more inspiration. Unless you're really targeting specific groups and joining conversations, that's where we get a lot of traction in terms of actually speaking directly to, I guess, micro Facebook groups, you know, interested in the climbing or interested in whitewater rafting and starting to actually generate conversations within that.
Sure. But that's cool to dig down into a speciality, not just like try and broad hit the whole of Facebook, but actually go and target, individual groups. Yeah, that's a good strategy.
Let people know that you understand them and you have value to bring. You know, I guess all of us, it doesn't matter if we're a millennial. In fact, we have this term we call it the millennial, which is basically a baby boomer with the mindset of a millennial, because travel isn't locked into demographics. It's very much a psychographic. And you could be 75, and we have some 75-year-olds who are in the top 50 on our game. And then you've got, you know, some of the younger ones who aren't as competitive. So it's a really interesting dynamic to start seeing how everyone starts playing with each other.
Yeah. From the genesis of this idea that you had 3.5 years ago to what you have today, is there any corners you've had, well, not corners you've had to cut, but what has changed in your offering or what have you found wasn't working originally that you thought you know, in the idea session you thought might have worked really well? Is there anything you've had to cut out or change majorly on the course to get where you are today?
Unfortunately, we've had to cut out a lot of our, I guess, next generation ideas that are going to continue to set us apart. But I guess really early on as well, like I mentioned before, we were quite eye-opened with the intake or the uptake that we were receiving with user-generated content and people actually adding and contributing their adventures. That wasn't necessarily one of the big, I guess, pillar stones when we first started as a business. We knew it was important. We wanted to have a true sense of community where not everything had to be booked. You could actually learn and use it as a resource. Mm-hmm. But that's something that is definitely been growing beyond expectation, which is pretty wild and awesome to see.
Yeah. And I suppose people who would go on these sorts of adventures would love to have others experience it well because they're harder to find. So, yeah, you're not only just selling the experiences yourself, but allowing people a platform to share their own experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, the name can sometimes be a bit discerning, but we're as broad as you like. You know, we've got over 100 different activities in 107 countries. We're from culinary tours in Turkey right through to whitewater rafting down the beautiful rivers in Switzerland. So it's a really beautiful balance of soft right through to, I guess, hardcore.
Yep.
But also the behavior of a millennial, what we're seeing is that we love to travel and go to a city and be sporadic and book last minute and get a good deal. So a lot of the adventures that start to happen are actually just outside cities. And that's, I guess, an interesting shift that we're starting to see as well. Back in the day, you know, people would research for months and figure out where their journey was going to be in, you know, 18 months from now and have it all planned out, whereas we're much more fluid and open to that sporadic side of travel today.
Sure. And in establishing this new business, do you ever feel yourself have to rein yourself in on some of those ideas that you'd love to create, I suppose? Like, because it'd be tempting to try and be all things to all people, but, I mean, you've got such a unique proposition. Do you find yourself reining in new ideas constantly or just storing them for later?
Yeah, we've got an ideas bank that's, you know, as long as from here to Timbuktu.
Sure.
But we're also really love our community and we listen to them and we're trying to position ourselves in a new way where they are really true co-contributors. So using the data metrics that we have to learn what they want, really engaging and asking better questionnaires and surveys with our users in the future is going to become critical because there's no point having a product that you think is actually solving all these new cool things that people don't want to use. So it's really about just taking what we have and enhancing it with the help of our community.
Do you have a background in technology? Because I know you use words like data metrics, and I'm sure there'd be some people who consider themselves just to be tourism operators but don't have a great, you know, technical literacy. Do you have a background in technology, or are these things you've picked up as a result of running this technical platform?
I have a really amazing business partner.
Okay, that helps.
That really helps. But yeah. Also, to be fair, I think my background is in marketing, so really sure. Understanding and having a response to what research is saying and understanding the landscape from that perspective is obviously critical to being successful. So it's just another way of listening, I guess, you know. So numbers have got a pretty good telltale of where to go, and that's been in my DNA a little bit. But the lingo and the understanding, you know, my mother, she was one of our early investors, and she turned around to me and said, look, I would love to send you off to Harvard to do an MBA, but I actually think by investing in your business, you're going to get a richer, more true education. And she couldn't have been more correct.
With that ideas bank, have you got new features? Like, what's next? Have you got a goal for what you desperately want to achieve next then with this platform? Or have you got sort of more short-term goals you're just working on at the moment?
Oh, look, we have a mix of things happening. For us, obviously, relevancy and making sure when an adventure junkie comes onto the system, on their dream feed, they're seeing exactly what they like. We can start learning more about, oh, you like climbing and base jumping and whatever it may be, and we make sure that content comes to you.
Yep.
But we're also equally as keen to look at interesting ways that we can actually make it more of a 360 experience. So to help you, if you're sitting in your lounge room in Manly and you'd like to go on a trip to Iceland, you might have some tools in there that actually help you figure out which bus to get on, what train you actually go to the airport to fly to, and how long it will take you before you're sitting in Iceland, to make it a little bit more of a lower barrier to see or visualize yourself being on an experience. Equally, I guess, you know, the importance of the community is something I keep talking about. So that's an area that we would also look to unlock, so that you have hero adventurers, and if they could be, you know, an expert on a certain region or activity, or even just being able to talk to your friend around the corner to actually plan an experience. So there's a lot of ways that we're looking at this, but at the moment it's really about making sure that who we're partnering with is really critical to us at the moment, because our long-term vision really is to shape the way that we travel. Travel is a beast that is growing exceptionally fast, and you just have to pick up a newspaper today to actually see the effects of what's going on with over-tourism, whether it's in Venice or at Machu Picchu or at a number of other places around the world. And, you know, we're about 1.2 billion people crossed international borders in 2015. And so that's about 3 million people going overseas every single day. And that number is set to double by 2030.
Far out. So they can't all keep just going to the same spots.
Now, exactly. So if we think we're having issues now, it's a really frightening future for travel. And it's up to operators and destinations and you know, brands and businesses like Adventure Junkie to play a positive role in how this actually eventuates, which is why I guess the millennial is just so critical, because over the next 20 years, they're the dominant player in the travel space.
Sure. So are you reaching out to, I suppose, regions that are less traveled than that at the moment to position themselves on the platform, or is that another long-term goal?
That is very much a long-term goal, but with that, there also is a lot of things that need to be in place. You know, we do a lot of work and follow the United Nations tourism body, and, you know, they have a lot of challenges in terms of Burma is a great example. When a destination becomes hot before infrastructure is actually there and they're not able to cater for the huge influx of tourism, that's more detrimental than actually raising a bit of capital for the destination off the tourism dollar.
Sure.
So making sure that we're working in line with countries that are robust enough and have the right forward thinking and plans in place, that's very critical to us, which is why we look to our partners. And when I say partners, we're working with destinations like Tourism Australia, Tourism Sweden, so the big destination bodies. Mm-hmm. But equally, we work with the really interesting small operators like North Sailing and Arctic, you know, Viking Sailing Fleet up in Greenland, and a little local river guide who lives on Fatalufa, a river in the middle of South America that's been protecting that space for the last 20 years. So we're really trying to do our best to get a great spread, but equally make sure that whoever we are putting on the app is resilient enough to actually take the influx of travellers.
Yeah, because that will then directly affect how good of an experience the next person that goes there has.
Absolutely.
So do you see yourself, like, is there a wave of these newer, smaller travel platforms, applications? Like, or do you feel like you're standing alone, or do you feel like you're part of a wave of others, I suppose, just because everybody knows to look at Google or TripAdvisor, but then there's platforms like yourself. Are there other people out there in this sort of space doing something you like that is different in the travel industry?
There's a lot of players, obviously. I think where we're trying to fit in and grow is take on, you know, no one has gamified travel globally. It's pretty cool and interesting to see what that looks like and where that will evolve. Mm. So for us, we obviously have multiple competitors, whether they're on a local scale or a big global Expedia or TripAdvisor.
Yep.
But I think there's a lot of room for really interesting innovation. You know, a great example and probably my favorite app besides my own is one called Rome to Rio.
Okay.
If you don't know or haven't heard of that one, it's an amazing tool that pretty much helps you get from your bed to wherever you would like to go in the world. You simply plug in here to Barcelona and it will map out exactly how you get there, show you to the airlines and tell you how long it will take before you're right smack bang where you want to be. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Well, I'm glad to have come across your stuff. And I think one of my favorite things too on the website there is the Adventure Junkie patch. I love a good patch, and you've got a great logo. The patch on the backpack looks magnificent. So the branding, that's actually one of what I wanted to talk about as well. So did you handle all the branding and marketing internally, or are you working with an agency for those sorts of things?
That's all internal. I guess that's the fun strength that our team really has is a marketing background and the wealth of knowledge we've had in that space. We've got some pretty good contacts. So our designer designed the logo. He's over in Sweden, mm-hmm. which was quite fun. He's a pretty big adventure junkie. And then we've worked with all sorts of different people from our backgrounds to help us bring it all together.
Yeah, that's very cool. All right. And again, I think it's just a part of the technical proficiency of running a fast moving platform like yours. Like, you've sort of just got to have those skills on hand, don't you? So the technical skills, branding skills, all of that. I don't think you can wait too long to get that sort of feedback back. Again, it's a millennial era thing to be fast moving and to be able to move on things like branding and marketing and see trends and adjust with them quickly.
Absolutely. But I also don't think it shouldn't be something that holds you back. Yes, you have to get things right, but you just need to keep adapting. And I think if you're a brand that really is genuine and have a very solid value set and passion, your audience is going to find purpose-driven companies. There's no, like, we even find talent when it comes to people wanting to work with our business that are top level, you know, looking for, you know, big salaries, but they're willing to drop that because they really want to be involved in something that's giving back and rewarding. And that's definitely, I feel, the future of how we're going to collaborate as a society. So it's very clear that profit is not just an equation of success anymore. It really is what's going on in the world. We're all feeling it. It doesn't matter what industry we're in. You know, the world's in trouble and people want to make a difference. And the millennial cohort, we're actually really pro around, we want to make things better for the world and learn as much as we can and give back to society in some shape or form. So I think it's a really exciting time to be in travel and be running your own businesses and also looking at all the communication challenges and fun of how we actually crack this adventure-seeking demographic.
Yeah, and I think that just to sort of finish too, I think that's a really good point you've raised there is as soon as you open the app, one of the first things you get to see is the video of yourselves there on the homepage. And because the cause and the idea behind it and the people behind it and the faces behind it are immediately put onto the page so that this doesn't feel like just some faceless corporate entity, but I get to know and connect with you immediately upon opening the app. And so I think it's, even though you're selling or you're showing off a travel experience, it's still a personal experience, isn't it? And I think that helps. That must certainly help get people to identify with your cause and with your business immediately, because these are the causes of real people that I can watch immediately upon opening the app. So you've instantly made that connection as soon as somebody comes to know your brand.
I think you're right. I think it does. You know, technology can be so faceless and so many, you know, things go on in our world these days. And I guess something that I've noticed with Adventure Junkie with that is the personalized touch. It's something that, if we're leading it from the top down, we're starting to receive it back from our users. You know, the stories and the content, you know, I could sit here for days talking about some of my incredible users. You know, there's one gentleman, Mario Rigby, who set out a few years ago to walk from the tip of Africa right the way to the top of the continent. And he wanted to tell stories about the local people, and he completed that journey last year. You know, you've got another girl that's got a tattoo of the world all over her back, and every time she goes to a new country, she's filling it in with ink.
Huh.
And you know, we have another couple actually who I've become very good friends with because they live here in Sydney, and they took their 2-year-old daughter last year to the middle of Australia and walked 1,800 kilometres over 5 months with her right across Australia, well, half of Australia. And just the community and what everyone is doing, and this is an exciting space for us to actually grow into maybe even being more of producing content and sharing other people's stories in a more of a format and video sense. That's really exciting for us to elevate everyone else's stories as well.
Yeah. And so I think the personal experience is just as engaging as the travel experience itself. And I think both of them are compelling content that can be packaged. That's for sure. All right. Well, I think that's everything. So I thank you very much for your time today. So is there anything else you wanted to plug or anything in particular you wanted to point people to? I know the app is Adventure Junkie, and that's J-U-N-K-Y, isn't it, on the App Store. Is there anything else you wanted to plug while you're here?
No, look, I think just get out there and enjoy adventure. You know, like I said, we're getting so consumed by digital and not going outdoors and being connected to nature. I think the best thing I want to do is, yeah, I'll plug my app, jump on my app, find something you want to do this weekend or next month and just make an effort to get out there and enjoy the world.
And make it happen. All right. Well, thanks, Fuchsia, for your time.
No problem at all. Really appreciate yours as well.
All right. Thanks.